Because you know, the thing that irks me more than anything else is for religion to be presented in such a way that there's no experiential aspect of it, so that it's presented as a view of history or something that, some moral code or we celebrate Passover as a body, and it's celebrated at a set time each year so that we can call to remembrance and learn more about things that take place. And we study the plagues and all the things that the plagues symbolize. And we have all kinds of little cliches about pre-Passover syndrome and all of those good things. But Passover isn't something that's celebrated in you at a set time with regard to anyone else's set time. Passover is this point in time in which it's the rarest phenomenon that occurs among the population of the earth. And Passover celebrates your escape from the dominion of the world on your life. Now, modern religion has started to call that born again, but it really doesn't. But Passover is a unique point in time in your life. We celebrate it in common so that you can see its spiritual meaning and you can see how you have filled up the affliction that's lacking in the body. But you can't dismiss the moment of your Passover. It's the most important time that there has ever been to you. It's the ultimate of all feasts. It's the reason for existence. It's, you know, in the analogy about the human body, Passover for you is analogous to the sperm that finally made it into the egg and lost its identity, or began the process of losing its identity. And so when we read and study these various things that took place in the life of Israel on Passover, what's vital for you is to recall your own Passover. Recall the pit from which you were digged. Recall and consider your condition had you not been dug from that pit. Recall and consider what your condition would be, knowing what you know now, if there were no Passover. If all of the gods and value systems that you had previous to the Passover were destroyed in your life, and you had no community, no body, no place, you'd be without hope. But you have to empathize that. The plagues hit everyone, but most people die as a result of the plagues. You understand? And this isn't optional. The fruit of the plague, or plaque, the fruit of the plagues kills everyone. Because if you weren't the firstborn in your family, your father was the firstborn. If he wasn't the firstborn, his father was. on and on and on back. And again, I would ask you the question, if your grandfather had died it, where would you be? Or if your father had died at birth, where would you be? So when we study this, and we read this, and it says the common responses, and you shall say, a feast of Passover, call to mind your Passover. Now your Passover isn't when you started thinking about God stuff. Your Passover isn't, if you grew up in a religious community, isn't when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Your Passover, if you grew up or have been involved in a charismatic activity, isn't when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. None of those things have a damn bit of merit or meaning until you've escaped from the world system. Otherwise, you're sitting under that house, under the door, under the blood, cringing in fear and getting any little religious tidbit you can find to give your stupid lives meaning. Am I communicating? So for some of you, the Passover, your Passover, has just happened. It doesn't matter how many thousands of teachers and input you had in this arena, how many nice thoughts you thought about God. Doesn't matter how many books you studied about God, how many times you read through the Bible. None of that means anything. It's less than nothing in the economy of God until you celebrate your Passover. Now in the spirit, in the reality of this life, some of you are still in Egypt, cowering under the blood, trying to put back together the pieces of your idolatry. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Well, all of your idolatry has fallen. And you're trying desperately in the quiet times at night to glue the pieces of your idolatry back together again. They're hopeless. They're marred forever. You can never again worship them. So when you say a feast of Passover, it's a point in time in which you, for the first time in your life, we're in agreement with God, and you say, I leave the world and all its compulsions. So otherwise, you'll just turn this into a liturgy. It'll be a very old liturgy. It's 3,500 years old. But it's still an old liturgy. God didn't want any liturgies. So the question is, when was your Passover? Now, for Rick, say, Rick had a little Passover back here, and he went out in the wilderness a little ways, and he says, oh shit, and he ran back to the world. Because he couldn't stand the concept of having nothing to do. When Rick left 9 years ago, the reason he left, he'll probably give you all kinds of other reasons, like what a bastard Ollie was. But the reason he left was the fruit of an unanswerable question. What shall I do? For some of you,
You've left, but it's taken 14 years to get to the Red Sea.
Well,
why'd that be?
Well, that was you. That's me.
Some of you have left, but you're carrying, you've got these ropes tied to you, and you're pulling all of the garbage. You're trying to take all with you, all this stuff across. On the second Seder night, you shall say,
a feast of Passover.
That's not what you got to.
And ye shall say.
Yeah, right.
And ye shall say, a feast of Passover.
Now, why shall you say a feast of Passover?
That's the
Haggadah
says too.
You're in more trouble than you've ever been.
Because every time you see this, you'll say to yourself, a feast of Passover. Daily. Minutely.
This is
a
hourly.
That sounded good.
Again, think about what.
So you didn't have to go to the bathroom.
Now we know what Jackie was thinking.
From a spiritual standpoint, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. To say something in the Hebrew language isn't like saying something in English. To say something in Hebrew, it's the same thing that we've talked about in the Greek in the word rhema, for the word. It means, to say something means that you have experienced what you say. So there's no distinction between heart and mouth. So when you say a feast of Passover, from God's standpoint, to say it, it's not by liturgy, but to say it. It's like, remember we've talked before about in the book of Genesis, and God said, let there be light. Well, who the fuck did he say it to?
He's talking to himself.
Well, why would God say, and God said, let there be light? He did it for your benefit. So you could understand this mystery. Thought, word, deed. Everything in the universe is the triune. Thought, word, and deed. There's nothing that has ever taken place in your life that didn't follow that. Thought, word, deed. The difference after Passover is it's thought, word, and you don't have to do it. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit. So the deed of what we say is no longer our business. It's the giving of what's there in perfect faith that it shall be accomplished. At Passover at Cumberland Cove, there were 40 of us or something, from all the groups. The only reason those 40 people existed at Passover was because I said it 16 years ago. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the same is true in every element of your life. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. But the saying of it has to be with your whole being. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. It's with everything in you. When you say it, then you are unitized. You are one. There's no more duality in you. You can't say anything and be in two. That's why James said, you double-minded. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He can't do anything. because his saying is an act. Well, how do you get out of it? How do you stop acting? You just say more. You understand? God doesn't care what it is that you say. He just wants you to keep on saying until the saying and the being are the same. If that isn't the case, you're automatically taking the name of the Lord in vain. You understand? God doesn't give a shit if I say fuck. And he doesn't care if I say God damn. He cares that you or I take his name in vain. And to take his name in vain, we're going to learn a new level of that. You've all heard me teach about that means that you don't put God's name to your flesh in terms of the vanity of your projects. But it means more than that. It means that there is no two-ness in you. That your eye is single and you and God are speaking the same thing. Can you get a hint of that? Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. None of you believe that. Why?
Because we test them out, it doesn't work.
No. You know why you don't believe it? Because you still are locked under the power of the Antichrist and you believe that you will consume it on your own lust and you don't deserve it. You still have bought the lie of the curse. The reason you don't have what you say is because you believe that you will consume it on yourself. Where's the lie? If self is at the cross, where's the lie?
You're alive.
Again, now do you understand why it says in here, and you shall say, Feast of Passover. When you say the Feast of Passover, that's your ticket to everything else in here. You can't start anything else. God didn't write nothing. God didn't give a holy shit about this place, the world. He only begins to care when you can say a Feast of Passover. Understand a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, now let's go through this liturgy and see if you make it. Now again, as I said, if there's something in here that you don't understand, stop me. The problem with your lives thus far is that you have, not just in religious stuff, but in everything, is that you have been satisfied with not understanding. And if you don't understand, you can never be in the place where, and ye shall say. The world teaches you that faith is blind, and blind faith is what God requires. The scriptures teach you that faith and knowledge are synonymous. It's the good seed that falls into the ground with understanding that produces the fruit. Okay? What's going on?
I'm just thinking about this repetition of saying, and you shall say a feast of Passover. It's a, in one sense, it's a prophecy, but at the same time, it's also, and you are saying a feast of Passover. And it's what Daryl said, every day you'll see these things and you'll say, a feast of Passover. It's you will be saying, you will be living a feast of Passover, and you will be you'll, by your life, be preaching that now is the acceptable time of the Passover.
And see, the Passover, it's only, this is its typical meaning. The Passover didn't take place until the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Psalms of Ascent were run again, were sung again, inside the temple. So Christ's Passover was the Passover, was the first fruit of our passing out of the control of time. That's what we really want. All right. Go ahead, you start, Darrell.
The power of thy mighty deeds didst thou show forth wondrously on Passover. Chief of all festival didst thou exalt the Passover. Thou didst reveal to Abraham, the Ezrahite, the events of the midnight of Passover.
And you shall say, a feast of Passover. Now, you must also see that you did reveal to Darrell the mystery. And Darrell is an Ezrahite. That just means it's somebody from the wrong side of the river. He's from the wrong side of the tracks, from God's standpoint.
My trash.
World trash.
World trash.
Cosmos trash. You understand? I mean, that's what an Ezrahite is. It just means someone that's from the wrong side of the tracks, literally, from God's standpoint.
And the events of midnight?
The events of midnight is the secret of the Passover. And it came to pass at midnight. You remember we just read that one? Okay.
Toy lion.
And now, and you shall say a feast of Passover.
Thou didst wrap at his doors during the heat of the day on the Passover. He gave bright angels a meal of matzah cakes on the Passover. He ran to the cattle as a hint of Joseph the ox who will bring about the Passover.
Wait. What was this bright angel's story?
Okay. In Genesis 14, he was visited by three angels.
Oh, yeah.
Abraham.
Oh, okay.
And those three angels represented the three graces that God has given to each one of us to see God. They were three separate beings. And it was the grace of Abraham, the grace of Isaac, and the grace of Jacob. And then they rapped at his door, the bright angels. He fed them the matzah cake, and he ate with them. What?
And he saw them as one.
Then he saw them as one.
The angel.
Wow.
Joseph the ox.
Joseph, well, you have to know, the ox here is the name of the reading of the second night. See, each Seder night has a specific reading about from the law, the writings, and the prophets. Okay, the second night of the Seder, the reading for this time is about, it's called the ox, and it's about Joseph's experience with Passover. Okay?
You shall say,
a feast of Passover.
The people of Sodom were treated to God's wrath. They were consumed in fire on a Passover.
Okay, now stop a minute.
Treated to.
We're
invited
into a toast.
Plan B.
Hello.
Plan B.
Sodom roast. Yeah.
Blackened sodomite.
Yeah. Now you understand.
Crunchy on the inside.
That prior
crispy critters.
It's important you understand, because it's another picture of this, the river of life turning into blood here, except it turns into fire. The Jordan River originates here at Mount Hermon in the mountains of Lebanon, flows with pure clean water, flowed down through this valley into the Gulf of Aqaba. During that time, this was the most, the Genesis says, this was the most beautiful spot on the face of the earth since the Garden of Eden. There were five cities here, and they were called the cities of the plain. Two of them were Sodom and Gomorrah. at the point in time of their closing themselves inward, God destroyed this river of life by an earthquake and by a particular, a unique set of chemical conditions that existed at Sodom and Gomorrah. With a lightning bolt hit these things that combined at the earthquake, it caused, it was like this whole area became one huge stick of dynamite. And it became the most desolate place on the face of the earth because they denied the Lord. They denied God. They damned God. And so now, this in truth, all of this, which was the well-watered valley and beautiful, mind-blowing beauty, became the worst desert in the universe. But it's a picture of the human race. Once you deny the Lord that bought you by judging for yourself right and wrong of what comes forth out of your mouth, and you can never say anything, everything you say is hypocrisy, is a lie, then you become as Sodom and are made like unto Gomorrah. So on the Passover, God treated Sodom and Gomorrah
to a light show.
Same as God treated your firstborn, which is your old you, on Passover. You got dusted.
You quote the apostle.
Yeah. Okay, now. So where? Who's reading? September. She only got the half of a sentence.
God escaped from their midst and baked matzah at the end of Passover.
Okay, he baked these matzah cakes at the end of the Passover on the eighth day. That's Genesis 19.
Egypt's land of Mop and Nop. Didst thou sweep clean in passing through them on Passover?
Okay, Egypt, the name of Mop. Mop and Nop are the names of Memphis. And Memphis was the capital of the southern kingdom. And there was really two places right there where Memphis is. And they were...
So they were on either side of the river?
Yeah, and they got wasted through the killing of the firstborn and the plagues on the night of Passover.
Why specifically?
Huh?
Why is that specific?
Well, because it's so that nobody knows what they are, so they have to go and ask questions about it.
Like, no, that's where the king would have been, right?
Huh?
That's where the king was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the sense. Land is equal to
they
the
killed
king.
Pharaoh's son. That's what matters.
Okay. And you shall say a feast of Passover. Now, the idea to internalize that, you've got to see that your mop the knot was swept clean on Passover. That this Pharaoh, this evil one, was wiped out. Okay?
This Rick.
What?
This Rick.
Yeah.
Rick, yeah. Not like me.
Rick's taking off. God, the issue of first strength didst thou bruise on the watch night of Passover. Mighty one, over Israel's firstborn didst thou skip by the sign of the blood of Passover, that no destroyer might come into my doors on the Passover.
And you shall say, a feast of Passover.
Jericho, the well-loved city, was given up to the Israelites in the time of Passover. Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. The fat folk of Puel and Lud were burnt up in a blaze of fire over on Passover.
This make a great children's show. Mop and Mop, Puel and Lud, and Joseph the Ox.
Everybody understood all that perfectly.
No. Here's the fat. No one in the body. No one in the body. No one in the
Well, first of all, let's stop at Jericho.
Let's start at Jericho.
I can't lay down because I eat Chinese.
The word Jericho in the Hebrew, as you all know, I hope you know, means what?
I don't know.
The walled city.
Walled city of fragrance.
Fragrance.
Oh, okay.
Fortress of fragrance.
Fortress of fragrance. And Jericho is here, and it's the first thing that's confronted after you enter the promise.
How about that, Jericho?
Plenty of
Jericho
I mean, fragrance is always symbolic of thoughts or prayer. And you have all lived in your walled, your walled city, of fragrance of thought, and all of the activity that has any merit to you is all inside that wall. Mind talk and usury and all of those things that we've studied so much in the last year or so are all in that walled city. You've excused it. You know, Rex excuses his by, well, I'm just a silent kind of guy.
It's worked for me.
I mean, you all have the various excuses of the world system to justify the walls of Jericho. The first requirement of Jericho is that you have to understand that the only one that was saved out of Jericho was the whore. And that whore ended up marrying Joshua, the type of Christ. And so, the thing that I want you to see here is that when Israel crossed the Jordan, and they had the Passover at Gilgal. Gilgal means the rolling away. So it's the Passover of Gilgal is when the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. The first thing that happened was the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, they didn't have to do anything except praise, and the walls fell down with no effort. And so we have declared the Passover that we've just celebrated at Cumberland Cove to be the Passover of Gilgal, where the reproach of the world was rolled away. And the mechanisms of the world that you use to conform and constrain your life thus far have all been false, and you all know they're false, otherwise you couldn't have done that Passover. Well, now, the promise is that by Pentecost, the walls of Jericho will fall. So there's no more private, walled you. You don't want to be a wall anyway.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's gotten smelly in there.
Not what it used to be.
What?
It's not what it used to be.
It's boring besides.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the picture? That's what happened. It says Jericho, the well locked city, was given up to the Israelites in the time of the Passover.
Who was Gideon?
You got
the part. Yeah, you all understand Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. Now, Midianites were the remnant of the Amalekites. The Amalekites were flesh. They were the first ones to attack Israel when they left the world, Egypt. And so, the Midianites are you. Agag was a Midianite, Amalekite. Herod was a Midianite. You're a Midianite. You're from the tribe of Esau, the flesh, Edom. And the Midianites were destroyed by a barley cake. The barley cake was the unleavened bread that was eaten on the second night of Passover. And you'll read it, if you want to, in Joshua 7, or Judges 7, they got destroyed by 187,000 of them were destroyed by one angel. But the purpose of reading this is for you to internalize it, to see that by your ability to say a feast of Passover, that unleashes the same power that accomplished all these things in the natural. Now they're accomplishing them within you. Okay? The fat folk of Pul and Lud were burnt up in the blaze of fire on Passover. Now, Pul and Lud were Assyrian tribes that fought against. Now, all of this area to the north, Assyria, Babylon, all throughout the scriptures symbolize false religion. So, Pul. The fat folk of Pul and Lud, do you understand the strongest religion in the world, the greatest religion in the world is the religion of Babylon, and it's the religion of cause and effect. So Pul and Lud here could be cause and effect. The fat folk are the idea that the successful ones that have used cause and effect, which in truth was Babylon, are destroyed by the fire on the feast of Passover. You got it? You don't want cause and effect. Cause and effect, the other half of cause and effect means that you want justice. Well, you got to know you don't want justice. You want grace. But you can't have grace and cause and effect. You can't have Israel and Pul and Lud. You can't have grace and pull your pud.
That's not true, is it? Yeah. I promise you, say it's not so.
I lost all your blessings.
It's grace to meet you.
You're slated to die.
Let's see what grace has to say.
Yeah. All right. So do you understand that section?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. And ye shall say. A feast of Passover. See, there's all kinds of neat hidden stuff in here, right?
Sure is.
Yeah, we like this.
Except for that last one.
Who's? Louis.
Sennacherib would have stood at
Nob. He said it right.
See that?
Well, he knows all this shit. You don't know it because he doesn't say it. He knows all this. He wanders into my room and says,
Sennacherib.
I'm very dead. But that there arrived the season of Passover. The palm of a hand wrote to destroy Belshazzar's deep-founded city on Passover. The lamp was lit and the table was set for the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover.
Yeah.
The doom of the desert by the sea. Sounds like a resort. Hotel California.
But you can never leave.
What's Nob? Yeah,
Nob. Nob was the capital city, or the palace city of Babylon.
What's the palm of a hand?
That's when God's hand wrote on the wall, the writing on the wall in Daniel, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin.
Oh, yeah.
Beware. You have been weighed in the balance and found to be eternally lacking. Now that's why, you know, that's why our has been written in the wall of our temple. And had it not been for the resurrection of Christ within us, we are in that position. And when you know that, then you can no longer depend back on those value systems of that phony system. Now, the Belshazzar's deep-founded city was, Babylon. Now, why is it deep-founded? Well, it's the most ingrained city, the most ingrained system on the face of the earth. That's why she's called the great whore, that all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It's you.
It's the system of the world that causes that requires cause and effect, reward, punishment, in order to survive. It's a deep founded city. It's the great whore of Babylon.
What do I do?
But the deep founded city was destroyed on Passover. Amen?
Amen.
Now,
you know, as you go through this and you say, what you're really doing is you're cutting your own, I mean, you're cutting from the flesh standpoint, you're cutting your own throat. It's a trick each time. Mm-hmm. It's ba-boom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know it. Dick.
Nowhere else in the world do they get by with calling your rabbi Dick.
Richard.
That was really
Richard.
Richard.
Rabbi. Don't pull your Richard.
Nowhere else would a rabbi get away with saying pull your butt either.
Really?
It's part of the hunger.
Who's Sennacherib?
Sennacherib was Belshazzar's father.
There's a great thing in the British Museum from his kingdom where he brags about kicking shit out of Israel.
Yeah.
Runs about 60 foot down one wall. It's great.
It's like stone stuff.
Yeah, it's carved stone. There's all these guys holding these cut off heads and blood running out. He brags about caging Israel like a bird. It goes on and on.
And then it gets shot.
Now listen to me. The next one is purely internal to you. The lamp was lit and the table was set. For the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover. Now, the desert by the sea means islands. That's the isles that are spoken of in the scriptures. Each one of you are an island, have been. You're an island in the sea of judgment. The lamp was lit and the table was set for the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover. And what's setting on that table is the bread and the wine, feast of Passover. So that from now on, your sustenance comes not from any of these other things. It comes from only seeing Him. And the lamp that was lit is symbolizing that the light of the world has come into your sea.
He said about 7 million times, as Noah condemned the world by his obedience, so we shall condemn the world. That's what this says, that when a people celebrate Passover in knowledge, it seals the doom.
Man.
Of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
And ye shall say a feast of Passover.
Hadassah gathered and said.
Remember who Hadassah is?
Esther.
Can
I at least finish the sentence?
No.
Hadassah gathered an assembly for a 3-day fast on Passover. Haman, head of the wicked house, on a 50-cubit tree on Passover. These two in one moment, childlessness and widowhood, didst thou bring to bits of Aram on Passover. May thy hand be strong, thy right hand exalted. Always is on the sanctification night of the festival of Passover.
And you shall say a feast of Passover.
That means that all of you know who Utsit Aram is, right?
No.
We're
going to
ask.
Huh?
Who is she?
Wow. Childlessness.
Utsit Aram is Edom, the flesh. And that's from the Book of Lamentations if you want to look at it. But it means that the fate of your flesh was sealed on Passover. Widowhood. And childlessness. That didn't sound like a neat thing. That's a wonderful thing.
And the seed is exalted.
Now, may thy hand be strong, thy right hand exalted. Now, the right hand is the Zeruah. That's the bone. That's caught, you know, you can go back here. You know, on the Passover table. The Zeruah The lamb is called the Zeruah. It means in the Hebrew, the right hand or the right arm. It's the strength of. Again, I'll say to you from John's targuming of the Hallel, the right hand of the Lord is lifted high as we enter the fight. We shall live and shall not die in his glorious light. Open up the gates of righteousness. We are entering in. And the day that the Lord has made can finally begin. Now.
All of this is like covenant.
Yeah. So now, we've gone through this, and you've seen clearer, I hope, than you ever have, the meaning of Passover. Not just is it something external, but you can say a feast of Passover. Can all of you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, in your Haggadah, where it says in large letters, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meat. Mm-hmm. Above that, in the ancient Haggadah, it says, for him praise is proper. Because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet. And again it repeats, for him praise is due. Okay? Then we go through this, and I'll read the large, and then you all read the smaller print. Okay?
It's you too, Harry.
Oh, boy.
You know, about...
I can see it. If we do it quickly...
Get a braille bucket.
For him praise is proper, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet. Now meet means all. I mean, it means necessary. It means not necessary like obligatory, but necessary because it's like
breathing.
Yeah, right. It's necessary to breathe. Okay. For him praise is due, mighty in royalty. Chosen of right, his legions say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Now, when you go through these, I want you to find you in there anywhere. Okay? You got to know by now that the trick is to get you out of the picture. Then abandon yourself to that life and flow like the bird flies. And you can't get tricked in your mind by sincerity. You know, that's tricked you too long. I don't want everybody to get up and walk out on me again, so I'm not going to redefine sincerity, but... All right.
We know it.
Distinguished in royalty, glorious of right, his faithful say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Pure in royalty, firm of right, his courtiers say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Now in the Hebrew, this is a song.
Yeah, I was going to say, this would be a song.
Yeah. Single in royalty, mighty of right, his adepts say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Ruling in royalty, feared of right, his surrounders say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth,
because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet. Humble in royalty, redeeming of right, his just ones say to him,
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet. Holy in royalty, merciful of right, his angels say to him,
to thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Powerful in royalty, sustaining of right, his innocents say to him,
to thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Now, what? Once you can say a feast of Passover, then you can say that you are standing before God, innocent, forgiven, perfect, holy, complete. Now, if you can once in your life see that, then you will know what the fear of God means, and you'll no longer feel the need to fear the faces of men. And that's what's done here. When you say his legion, his faithful, his courtier, his adepts, his surrounders, his just ones, his angels, and his innocent. So those are all now descriptions of you, because you've just said it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're not going to do the mightiest one, but it just means, you know the word edify? Edify is in the Hebrew means to build, and we are the living stones along with all the stones from all of the places except the cross. From the beginning of time till now, we are the living stones that this is about. So you can read that on your own there in a minute. But now, let's go to who knows one is a wild one. This is one we had to have as a song. Well, they're going to have the kids' Passover on Sunday, which is just hilarious. Okay, who knows one?
I know one.
One is our God in heavens and the earth.
Who knows two?
I know two.
Two are the tables of the covenant. One is our God in the heavens and the earth. Who knows three?
I know three.
Three are the fathers, two are the tables of the covenant, one is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows four?
I know four.
Four are the mothers, three are the fathers, two are the tables of the covenant, one is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows five?
I know five. Five are the books of the Torah.
Four are the mothers, three are the fathers, two are the tables of the covenant. One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows six?
I know six.
Six are the orders of the Mishnah. Five are the books of the Torah.
Four are the mothers. Three are the fathers. Two are the tables of the covenant.
One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows seven?
I know seven.
Seven are the days of the Sabbath count.
Six are the orders of the Mishnah.
Five are the books of the Torah.
Four are the mothers. Three are the fathers. Two are the tables of the covenant.
One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows eight?
I know eight.
Eight are the days of the circumcision.
Seven are the days of the Sabbath count.
Six are the orders of the Mishnah.
Five are the books of the Torah.
Four are the mothers. Three are the fathers.
Two are the tables of the covenant.
Who knows?
One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows nine?
I know nine.
Nine are the months of pregnancy.
Eight are the days of circumcision.
Seven are the days of the Sabbath count.
Six are the orders of the Mishnah.
Five are the books of the Torah.
Four are the mothers.
Three are the fathers.
Two are the tables of the covenant.
One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows ten?
I know ten.
Ten are the commandments.
Nine are the months of pregnancy.
Eight are the days of circumcision.
Seven are the days of the Sabbath count.
Six are the orders of the
are the tables of the covenant. One is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows leaven?
I know leaven.
11 are the stars of Joseph's dream.
10 are the commandments.
9 are the months of pregnancy.
8 are the days of circumcision.
7 are the days of the Sabbath.
6 are the orders of the Mishnah.
5 are the books of the Torah.
4 are the mothers.
3 are the fathers.
2 are the tables of the covenant.
1 is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows 12?
I know 12.
12 are the tribes of Israel. 11 are the stars of Joseph's dream. 10 are the commandments.
9 are the months of pregnancy.
8 are the days of circumcision.
7 are the days of the Sabbath count.
6 are the orders of the Mishnah.
5 are the books of the Torah.
4 are the mothers.
3 are the fathers.
2 are the tables of the covenant.
1 is our God in the heavens and the earth.
Who knows 13?
I know 13.
13 are the attributes of divinity.
9 are the stars of Joseph's dream.
10 are the commandments.
9 are the months of pregnancy.
8 are the days of circumcision.
7 are the days of the Sabbath count.
6 are the orders of the Mishnah.
5 are the books of the Torah.
4 are the mothers.
3 are the fathers.
2 are the tables of the covenant.
1 is our God in the heavens and the earth.
That's a rabbi's only job, is to be a metronome.
This is true.
Right. Keep time.
One kid.
Oh.
One kid.
Hagadya. One kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim.
One kid.
And the cat came and ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim.
One kid.
Everybody read.
Wait, what's a zuzim? The dog came
and bit the cat that ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim.
One kid.
And the stick came and beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the fire came and burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the water came and quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the ox came and drank the water that quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that the father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the slaughterer came and slaughtered the ox that drank the water that quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the angel of death came through the slaughterer and slaughtered the ox that drank the water that quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that father bought for 2 zuzim. One kid. And the Holy One, blessed is he, came and killed the angel of death that slew the slaughterer and slaughtered the ox that drank the water that quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that father bought.
That's a cure for smoke birds. Gets one.
Yeah, Rick, you don't even have to walk tonight.
Talk about a stress test, baby. Yeah, that's that. You got it knocked.
So, Jessica, did you have fun tonight?
Didn't know it was a party.
What is a
Zuzim, bro? It's money. This isn't
50 cents.
What you use 5 kids?
Take a big guy.